This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I don't give a mother duck.
Ass. It's that.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
All right, Clint's out today, but that's all right. We'll hold down Dirty's Daily. Luke. Luke is in the building. You see him right there on YouTube and Twitch. And I think you guys are starting to get familiar with Luke. I know he was in holding it down a little bit for me last week. And he's been around all over the spot here on Sports Radio 610. So we're in good hands with Luke. Tyler, obviously, as always, is running things behind the glass, doing his thing. But let's get to it here as we do a little Dirty's Daily here on The Drive here on a Friday. And I want to roll through this, guys, because this is my question for the Texans. I wish, and I believe they better, I believe they know the answer to this question. I just don't think any of us do. And to a point that some people have made on YouTube and Twitch, mainly Cornbread, that we will know more about this when training camp gets here or any kind of camps get here. But this is my question that I wish I could have answered right now. And if any of the Texans, you want to text into the Jim Adler text line, the Hammer text line, you can text in 713-572-4610. Any of the Texans, hey, you want to call? Nick, anybody want to call in? Let us know. But this is the question. What is the plan for Blake Fisher with the Texans? If I knew the answer to that question, it would make me feel different than I am right now. I just wonder, what is the plan? Like, how do they see Blake Fisher, right? Because right now it's just an assumption. Right now the assumption is a premium pick in the draft last year, a second round pick who started playoff games down the stretch, who started the last few weeks of the season and into the playoffs, is on this roster. But so is now Trent Brown. So is obviously Titus Howard and Cam Robinson. But my thought is, what is your plan for Blake Fisher? Because, Luke, if their thought process and plan with Blake Fisher is, Blake Fisher is a guy that we plan to be a backup and depth, for me, that would make me feel better, because that would then mean that they are more serious about getting a guard or getting another interior player, and that the answer is not Titus Howard, right? Because if you're telling me that Blake Fisher is a guy that you feel is a starter, well, I damn sure know you ain't paying $23 million this year to Titus Howard for him to go to the bench somewhere.
Oh, no,
like, you know he's going to play. And I know you have your issues with Cam Robinson, but I believe they brought Cam Robinson in here to be the left tackle. So he's going to be the left tackle. And if Blake Fisher, the plan is, Blake Fisher, you play right, then that means Titus is a guard. And I would feel much better if arguably your best tackle was playing tackle. I think there's an argument that Titus is their best tackle. Some may think Cam is, whatever. I think there's an argument. If you told me going in, the plan is Blake is a backup, and our plan is Cam Robinson and Titus are the tackles, then I would be like, okay, now they want to get to be a real player at guard there. Whether that's rookie, whatever. I don't love the plan A being Titus Howard is a guard. For me personally. So that, like, the Blake Fisher, what is their plan? How do they view Blake Fisher? If I knew that answer, I'd have more of a concrete feeling about what they're doing up front.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I actually do like the idea of Titus Howard being a guard because of what they currently have on the roster. When the season ended, that wouldn't have been my preference, or even a few weeks ago, but now, because of the pieces they have on the offensive line, I think that might be a way towards building the best five on that offensive line, is having Blake Fisher be the tackle, move Titus Howard inside. But otherwise, what you're saying, though, to me would be a little concerning in the sense that he was a high draft pick. He did play meaningful snaps for you. And I think, you know, like, he wasn't the third day of the draft. He was a second round pick. I think at this point, with the needs on the offensive line and the turnover, I would like to think that you'd be able to rely on that guy to be a starter and still not be a backup at this point, heading into what would be, you know, year three, hoping that he develops enough. With those needs that they have, I hope he could step up and be good enough to be that starting right tackle. He moved Titus Howard inside. I would prefer that as opposed to what seems to be a lack of confidence. Keep Titus Howard at tackle, Fisher on the bench. And look, their moves this offseason, bringing in all these tackles, might tell you, again, actions speak louder than words, how they might feel about him. I don't know. I don't know if that instills a lot of confidence with all these other pieces they're adding. But I would like to think, in a perfect world, your second-round pick in year two can slide over to be the starting right tackle. Titus Howard can help you in the interior, and I think that's how you can try to build the best offensive line unit based off of the pieces they have.
Because, see, to me, when they traded Tunzel, at that point it became clear. Like, at that point it was like, all right, Titus and Blake Fisher
that's
are
what I thought. Yes.
It makes sense. We draft him in the second round. Right, you don't want second rounder. You don't want one. You traded for a second. You traded a second rounder to help get Diggs. So you've lost that one,
mm-hmm.
and you've lost Diggs. You only had Diggs for 7-8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then the next second round pick that you just took is potentially on the bench. You know, generally it doesn't work that way. For me right now, I'd feel better about their chances to put together the best offensive line if Titus Howard is playing tackle. Like, is the big thing to me. So, but then when they traded Tunzel and now brought in Cam,
yeah.
who you know is going to start, I would assume. Now that made that a little bit more blurry, because the thought is, no, they could still believe in Blake, but want to move Titus inside, and I'm not a huge fan of that. So when people are texting in, Ron, it's competition. I don't know. I mean, I just got a hard time not. Oh, it may be competition. If Cam Robinson is healthy, and if Titus Howard is healthy. And yes, his cap hit is 11, but they broke the rest of that down in signing bonus. They are going to pay him a total of $23 million this year. I don't get the sense that Titus and Cam healthy are losing competitions. Like, those guys are going to be on the field. So that's just my thing is, if you're signaling to me, like, all right, the plan is we really love Booker from Alabama, and that's who we're going to get. And bam, we're looking to go, you know, Titus and and Cam as our tackles with Booker and Tomlinson and Scruggs or whatever, like, or Patterson and Scruggs at the guards. Bam. Okay. That is something that would make me feel better about it. I don't love the prospect of Titus playing guard. I think he had to last year because clearly he was the best option that they had in a bunch of bad options. But he is, to me, his best position is tackle. And that's the one thing to me that I just, and we'll learn as it passes. We'll learn to see where Blake Fisher is and where the rest of the guys are. But I think how they view Blake Fisher tells us a lot about the other chess pieces they have there.
And these moves might tell you what they think about him, too. Because, yeah, Cam Robinson's not coming in just for competition. Trent Brown might be for competition. Yeah. Cam Robinson's to start. And Titus Howard has also said he prefers to play tackle than guard. So.
Hell, he put down. He said, I'm a right tackle.
Yeah.
What he put in there. All right. The latest there in Pittsburgh, Aaron Rodgers, I know they met today. They don't have a deal. Is that correct, Tyler? Not a deal done there.
Yeah, he left the facility. No deal in hand.
No deal in hand. And apparently they have had a deal on the table for quite some time. This was more of the getting to know each other phase right now. I'm curious. I'll let you lead this off, Luke. What's your thought process in the Aaron Rodgers Steelers situation, those two potentially doing business together?
I mean, this whole thing is playing out very oddly. It's very weird. I don't know why this would take so long. They've had a contract in place for weeks, and then they have to come meet today, and they're still not ready to sign. One party is not ready to sign. The whole process is very odd. Cam Hayward, somebody already called out, like, why is this taking so long? If you want to come be a Steeler, just sign already. Like, what are we doing here?
It's
very strange. I also don't know if Rodgers is a good fit with the Steelers in the sense of everything else he brings to the table compared to how Mike Tomlin tries to run things. Now, Tomlin's done great with guys like Antonio Brown and
I was about to say, we gotta maybe start pumping the brakes on the how Tomlin likes to run things. I mean, he had been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he does well with chaos.
We do not care.
Well, I mean, it doesn't stop guys from being chaotic, right? Deontay Johnson, George has stuff all the time, Pickens.
Yep.
So maybe they pump the brakes on will he fit? Hell, Aaron might fit right into what they do.
Yeah, maybe. But he's the best option for the Steelers out there, and they can't go roll in with Mason Rudolph. They've done such a poor job of addressing the quarterback situation since before Roethlisberger retired. So I think it's just a natural fit for both sides. I think it's the best opportunity for Rodgers if he wants to actually go somewhere where he could try to win next year. And for the Steelers, it's the best option on the table. I don't know why it's taking so long. I guess it goes right in line with how peculiar Rodgers seems to be as a person, that this thing is dragging out. They have to have meetings. It's a week-long process. You get the photo of him thinking on the beach in Santa Monica, wherever he was. Like, it's just sign already or don't and move on to some other team. I'm just tired of it.
I think the Steelers should go away from the Aaron Rodgers thing. I think he's washed. Let me ask you this, both of you, Tyler. When you think of Aaron Rodgers playing football, like right now, when you think of what the Steelers are going to get if he plays there, what comes to mind for you?
Honestly, mystery. Like, I'm not sure. I think he could still have some left the tank, or I think he could be completely washed, like you were just saying.
Yeah, I feel like people envision, like, he had some moments down at the end of the season last year. But I feel like people are envisioning a guy that has not been around for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about all of the outside stuff he brings. I'm literally talking about what he has done on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even with having Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams together. Like, I mean, it's like they haven't come close to doing any kind of winning. Like, he had that long streak before of like 20-something games that he had even hit 300 yards passing. Like, it's not been great. Hell, it's not been good. Like, it has been him at times that has screwed up, like, down the stretch of games, have thrown poor passes and made bad decisions. So For me, I understand that he may be the best option on the market right now for the Steelers. But everything he, like him and George Pickens and DK Metcalf, that looks like an absolute volcano exploding, waiting to happen. And guys like Cam Hayward, who ain't about that childish stuff that will get on their nerves, who's probably about over this. He's had his Ben and mm-hmm. and George and A-B type stuff. I think that could be volatile. But for me, if I'm the Steelers, I think it makes more sense for the Steelers, who sit at 21 right now, to try to fight like hell to get one of those young quarterbacks. Right there, like, we're starting, maybe if you like Jackson Dart, we're starting to see him climb a bit. Last I saw Mel Kiper had him at 9. Like, that's less of a jump than I know what the Chiefs did to go get Patrick Mahomes. Like, a quarterback's jump. Like, to me, that would make more sense because, one, we have to get out of our minds how hard it is for young quarterbacks and teams to win immediately with young quarterbacks. And I'm not even talking about like CJ Stroud or Daniels, right? Like, if you are in a good situation, young quarterbacks now have a better chance. Hell, Ben was in a good situation when he got there as a rookie. Like, you're bringing in a rookie to DK Metcalf and George Pickens. Those are two quality wide receivers, Pro Bowl caliber, a really good tight end in Freiermuth. Warren, I know they love in the running game. They have started to build their offensive line, and you have a Hall of Fame coach with a really good defense. Like, that is a good setup for a quarterback that is young. That is a good setup. That, to me, makes more sense than getting into the volatile up-and-down business of Aaron Rodgers, who has not been good in the last several years. So, for me, that would be the plan to me, to go after one of the younger quarterbacks, to really go after one, not Kenny Pickett, sit there and wait on a kid who plays with gloves, but really... Shadur, all of that, to really go after a young quarterback rather than doing business with Aaron Rodgers.
I don't disagree with you. It's just hard to count on that idea of moving up and be able to get a quarterback, which is why I've always said the NFL, I don't know why it's different from every other sport. I would prefer to have the draft first before free agency, so then the Steelers could try to trade up, get a quarterback, and if they can't find that partner or there's not a quarterback ready for them, then that's when you resort to, all right, let's just go get Aaron Rodgers. He's the best guy now available for us. But, I mean, look, it's only them and the Giants. Maybe they can wait till after the draft to sign Rodgers if they miss out. But for sure, the better option for the Steelers would be some sort of franchise quarterback for the future.
They need that, to be honest. I don't even know. Like, I think you probably knew pretty early that Pickett wasn't, but I don't even think they gave him a huge, a big runway or a big shot. But to me, like, that is the route to go. They had a perfect setup for a young quarterback to come in and just to try to be solid. They don't need a young quarterback to do what Daniels and CJ Stroud did. They need a young quarterback that can be solid and can grow with this group. And there are a lot of things in place for that, for their team.
And they've been stuck in purgatory because, you know, they win enough games where they're not drafting a quarterback high, but they're never good enough to actually compete. They haven't won a playoff game in close to a decade. Yep. And then, of course, the one year they are able to draft a quarterback, like you said, I mean, it's Kenny Pickett in the worst quarterback class we've had in a while. So they've just kind of been stuck here without this franchise quarterback or without the ability to actually get a young guy to be that franchise quarterback.
The biggest thing happening with the Astros, who get going here in less than a week for real against the Mets. How do we get here? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Houston Astros baseball spring training.
It's good.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Hey, it looks like we might have our first close one here. St. Mary's Vandy, 53-50. Because Ole Miss is just beating the hell out of Carolina, 50-30. And so it looks like we might have our first tight ball game under 4 minutes. One possession game. Please give me one. I see you, Rob Torres, Andy, and St. Mary's coming down to it. St. Mary's, boy, atrocious uniforms. Some of the worst, boy. Some of the worst they've ever created. Now, I know Under Armour does their best. are some of the worst they've ever created. So we'll keep you updated there on the updates. As still, we're really waiting for the madness to start. It has not started at this point. It has not started at this point. All right. Astros, you ready? Ready for it? Astros getting ready. Get the Mets to start this thing off. And Framber Valdez and Hunter Brown are going to start games 1 and 2 for this thing. And it's pretty clear that Jose Altuve and company, and he is going to start in left field. I think they're playing today, haven't they?
They won, I believe.
They won 5-3, and we hadn't heard anything from Jose Altuve, so I'm sure if we heard any kind of a problem. He did go 0-3 with 2 Ks. But
must not have had any balls hit his way.
He had no problem. I'm just saying we would have heard of that now.
Yeah, I do think that's part of it though with the Altuve thing.
I feel bad for him on that part.
It's like almost like and this might be a bad example now because things have changed in 2025. But you always hear about the plane crashes, but never the thousands of planes that land safely. So people think flying is so dangerous, where statistically it's safer than being in a car.
Yeah.
I think it's similar. You never see the highlights.
I struggle with that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
It's tough.
Well, I feel like I'm in more control driving, but go ahead.
That's right. That's what I think most people feel, which is fair. But you never see Altuve making the catches or the routine plays. We just see the funny highlights of him dropping fly balls, which has only been, what, 2 or 3, a couple bad plays here or there. So, you know, I think we're focusing on the bad and not focusing on that nice catch he made running into the gap 2 days ago and the other routine stuff he does.
Well, that's not as much to me that, yeah, I think that does happen. I think for me is we are going to, and I'm sure I'll be a part of it and have been, but we are going to hype or at least give more conversation to his misplays than we will do anybody else. Mm-hmm. Right? Like if you really think about it, in one of those games he booted one, Jeremy Pena is a gold glove shortstop, has won a gold glove, and he booted a really easy play. But nobody said right. From that it was all about Altuve. So I do think that part sucks. Like Is he the worst defender on the diamond in his position for the Astros? I think he is.
I think yes, and it's probably not close.
Yeah,
Christian Walker's really good at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's the newest at his position.
Will be really good. Yes, but he's the worst. But his misplays are going to be much, much louder, right?
Absolutely.
Like if Christian Walker misplays a grounder that's hit to him, and it's an error and someone gets on, it'll be like, dang, you got to make that play. If he drops a ball in left field, oh, man, you know we're talking about it. See, there it is. That's what that's the part that I feel bad about. The part that, though, fellas, I can't. And I'm wondering how people view this, honestly. Because they clearly view it this way. Is this giving the Astros, this plan that they've gotten to, does this give them the best chance to win? Do you agree with that? Like, do you agree that this year, because I've said this, I just didn't watch him at second base last year. One, I didn't watch him at second base last year thinking that this is a gold glover or even a bronze glover the way that Jake is. But I watched him. I didn't watch it and think to myself, you know what? Well, they got to get his ass up out of there at second base. Like, there was never, ever, ever a point, Luke, that I ever thought to myself, oh, man, it's the eighth inning. They probably ought to get a defensive replacement in there for Jose Altuve. Never thought that.
That was a no-brainer for me.
Did you ever think that never?
No,
that never crossed
for sure
my mind. I think Dubon could probably play better at second base, but it was never to a point where it was that bad. Where I was like, man, they got it. There's times I watched out there at Yordan. I'm like, hey man, this is the ninth inning. Hey Joe, maybe you should swing a better outfield out there. I'd never thought that with him. But apparently it was that bad that they felt they wanted to move him or had to move him. Do you get the sense that this year this is the best chance? This gives the Astros the best chance to win having him in left field.
Well, as I've been saying throughout all this, I think long term, yes. So I think it's the simplest way to go about this for down the road. And what I mean is because when Cam Smith is ready, I know there's a lot of talk about, well, maybe he could play the outfield. I want to just keep him at third base, and I want him to be my cornerstone third baseman for the next 10, 15 years, however long he's in Houston. So I think the easiest way is when he's ready, which I anticipate will be sometime this season and might be sooner rather than later at this point, that you just bring him up to third, you move Paredes over to second, and Altuve's already out in left field. So from that perspective, that's why I was always...
If that's what the end goal is, if that's what the end plan is mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, which is why I was always, when they started the rumors about Altuve left field, even with the Bregmans, all that stuff, once Paredes came over, I was like, yes, move him to second, Altuve out there, and then whoever, Arenado, Bregman, eventually Cam Smith, whoever your third baseman is, it'll be easier to just slide them right in. The other pieces are already in place. So long term, yes. But right now, opening day, I don't know. But then my other question is, what's the alternative? Like, if you keep Altuve at second, then are you putting Ben Gamel as your other starting outfield? Because I don't know if that's any better from a lineup perspective. Or do you have Yordan play the outfield? And, you know, he's not a great fielder. And then also you worry about the health and who's DHing. You could use both catchers. So, I don't know if there's an alternative that's so much better. Yeah. By putting Altuve at second, and that's my point being, is he blocking a spot for someone else that should actually be out there by being in left field? I don't know if they have another good option.
Yeah, it could be a block in the spot, or is the thought of, like, we're trying to win right now, right away. We're trying to win right now, and it's weird. You have Altuve in left field, and you're going to have Dubon at second base. When I just feel like Altuve would be a much better second baseman than he would be a left fielder, and Altuve obviously is really good at both. Can play both. It's just when you have both of them in the lineup at the same time to start the year, and you have him playing that spot. I get it. If you're saying the overall plan is is let's keep getting him reps and Cam Smith's going to come. That's probably the best thing that I have heard in terms of this being the thing that gives him the best chance to win, because ultimately he's got to go out there when Cam Smith is ready to take over. And Cam Smith and his play has jump-started even more, so maybe that is coming faster. That's probably the best I have heard in terms of why it makes the most sense for him to be out there in terms of best chance to win. Because, like, right now, if we're sitting here throughout the whole year and Dubon is playing second, he's playing the outfield, and there's some issues, that would be strange, because that seems to be an easy swap.
Yeah, and when you put it that way, right, Altuve is better at second base than left field, obviously, and I think Dubon's better as your utility guy and Swiss Army knife than being your everyday second baseman. So when you lay it out like that, it is true that they're kind of putting two guys in worse positions, but I just think long-term it will work out long-term. You know, once Cam Smith's ready, then things will fall into place, and that might be a month from now for all we know, the way he's been swinging it.
Yep. All right, coming up as we continue, we'll keep you updated here on the tournament, and that simple question, man. A simple question. Season ended. Do you get a sense now that the Texans, are in a better place to win a championship right now than they were when the season ended? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Oh, man, we were close. We got the closest thing to madness that we've seen.
Madness.
A shot, two threes at the buzzer that Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt loses to St. Mary's. So if you had them in your bracket, sorry. I'm certain I did. Vanderbilt loses to St. Mary's, 59-56. Had it close. You got the call. Let me hear the call. Let me hear the call. Who was on this? All right, let me hear it.
1 second. The St. Mary's Gales survive, and they are moving on here at Cleveland.
dribbling. McLaughlin hitting the offensive glass, had a shot, but Vanderbilt misfires, and their season comes to an end.
Yeah, a little Spiro?
Yeah.
Spiro, there you go.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great pipes.
It was. It was. Hey, man, them dudes. That's four games they got to call in this day.
Kevin Harlan putting in that work.
Boy, I'd be shot. Especially me, many of you love to remind me of it, especially here of late.
Man, woman, or child.
I've been rolling in and out of colds. Man, I wouldn't make it through the second session. That, like, I would be on the, I mean, you know it, Tyler, you know how much I may go through two throat coats a show.
Yeah.
At times here. I would be shot if I was out. Hey, all right, college first two, and all right, then we get lunch. Or dinner here. Come back for the 6 o'clock session. All right, here we go. Got two more games. Nah, man, I ain't got that in me, Jack. I'd be by that final game.
Need some honey and tea, man.
Let's go. I'd be shot, boy. And they do it. They do it every year, boy. Knock it out.
It's wild. I don't think I've ever done more than back to back. I couldn't do four. And for Harlan, he does.
You're right. You've done play by play. You've done some.
Yeah.
Look at this guy.
A lot of it. But for Kevin Harlan.
Sorry, a lot of it, Tyler.
Yeah. Too much. For Kevin Harlan, though, like, even over the course of a regular season where he'll do football on Sunday, football on Monday, basketball on Tuesday, you know, basketball, it's crazy. Just when you factor in the travel and all the prep as well, that guy's an animal.
He's bare-chested.
Yeah, he is bare-chested. Yeah, but no, man, congratulations. Our first, closest thing to our first one. I thought one of them was going down. I did. I thought he was about to get a moment.
I saw you in there. Throw your hands up.
I was ready. Then I thought to myself, oh, 99 pulling up. That's probably ain't it. J.J. Watt pulling up the three. That probably ain't it right there. That ain't it right there. All right. I said this, and I see some people jumping in on here on the text line. Do you, at this point, they've made a lot of moves, some switches, and obviously they're not done. But do you get the sense that the Texans are closer to winning a championship than they were when the season ended in Kansas City? Do you get the sense that they are closer? Ocho said right now, no, because their receivers are ass after Nico. I disagree. I don't think Christian Kirk's ass. But, all right. But whatever. Where are you? Where do you sense? Do you get the sense that... That they are closer, closer to winning a championship than they were in Kansas City when the season ended?
To answer that question, I would say no. I put them at the same level.
And they say no!
In terms of winning a championship, I'd put them at the same ceiling. I could see, really, for the third straight year, the same type of season playing out where you win double-digit games, you win the division, you win a playoff game. But that's about it for this roster as I see it right now. I don't see them being a top two team in the AFC to get to the championship or to go win the AFC. Now, of course, there's still more work to be done this offseason, but we're asking for right here today, and I put them probably on the same level as that squad from last year. I like what they've done this offseason, but has it elevated them from what we saw last year to a Super Bowl team or a top two team in the AFC? Passing, you know, somebody like the Bills and or the Ravens? I don't think so. I don't see that yet.
Not yet. Yeah, they do feel like they're in a range of, I think they're clearly the best team in their division.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should dominate their division and win their division. Hell, I would sit here and say I don't think anybody in the division up to this point has done anything to even close the gap. Even with all of the movement that has been made, I don't like the Colts or the Jags. I don't think they have done, and obviously the Titans are, they've got the number one pick. I don't think they have done anything.
Duval.
Especially with that fella, done anything to close the gap with him. So I don't think that is the case. But I don't necessarily think that they have done anything to close the gap to Kansas City, Baltimore, and Buffalo. I'll be honest with you. I think that maybe the gap between them and the Chargers are tighter. Like, you know, adding, you know, Najee and kind of securing their line and doing some things. I think it's maybe closer, like that is closer than getting closer to the top. Now, as you've said, they could have a big draft that could add to that. Maybe there's still another move out there. Maybe there's another receiver out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they look at guys like Diggs or Cooper or something like that. I'd rather love in the draft, but they may have put themselves in a position where they might have to go interior O-line in the draft, and that means maybe another free agent on the outside at receiver. But at this moment, I think there's got to be more work done to get it out of the level of the Chargers, and maybe I think they're above Denver, but out of the that Chargers level. To get up to the, like, yeah, we can go host a playoff game, whatever, and then go take on the Ravens, the Chiefs, or the Bills to move on to the next level. I think they still have some things to do to close that gap.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And that's why I would have liked to have seen some of those big swings, at least in the offensive line, to try to close that gap and be able to compete with those other teams. Now, again, look, they should know more than we know, and maybe how they see things on that offensive line of putting this guy here, and having this unit gel and new offensive line coach, new system with the offensive coordinator, maybe things will work out a lot better this year than the last couple of years, and that could be all the difference. Or the new play caller could be all the difference. We don't know. But it goes back to what you were saying earlier this afternoon about the whole idea of, you know, just kind of hoping things work out instead of having a higher expectation because you're bringing in some sort of big name or some guy with that great proven track record on the offensive line or even the play caller. So I do feel better about this team compared to when the season ended last year. I do like the offseason. I do think they've improved this offseason, but not enough where I'm suddenly putting them on the same level or passing them or having them pass teams like the Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, and the AFC, and that's obviously who stands in their way of taking that next step in that conference.
Text line coming through, show is crazy. The defense who won most of the games got better.
Hold on, so
there is no gap opening. The Chiefs got worse. That's one's opinion, I guess.
Even so, to me, that's always as long as Mahomes, Reed is there. I don't care. I don't even care what happens in the offseason. The roster has gotten worse over the years. They're still going to Super Bowls. So the Chiefs offseason is always kind of irrelevant to me.
Well, I mean, they got much better at corner. with getting Christian Fulton, and now they can move Trent McDuffie to his natural spot in the slot, which was a big deal for them. They do lose Justin Reed. That's a big deal. But they're better at left tackle right now. They gave up their all-pro guard, but they're better at left tackle, which was their big issue there and those are things. They kept a lot of their guys. They kept Trey Smith. They kept Nick Bolton. They kept some guys. I don't think the Texans have closed enough gap.
No.
And the Texans defense has a chance to be really, really good. I love the addition of Gardner Johnson. I do. But if you think they've all right, let's say they close it with the Chiefs. You think they've closed it with Buffalo?
No.
Who's added Joey Bosa and added somebody else at receiver. Did they close it with Baltimore? Have you sensed that they've got it with Baltimore? I don't know. Maybe you do. That's fine. Offensively, As I said, I like Kirk more than most. I like Gardner Johnson. But I don't know that those moves have gotten them closer, especially still. I think there's still some up-in-the-air things in the offensive line that has to be determined. So I don't know about that. Rob, did Ron just say he takes throat coats? Yes, it's a like a tea.
Don't be nasty, friend.
There's no reason.
Come on, man. Tea. Grow up.
I mean, yeah, grow up here now. 40 years old, guys.
Do you use that regularly, like as voice maintenance throughout the week? Or just if you're doing excessive talking?
Really, when it gets excessive, it got really bad in certain places. Like I got it in my backpack and I got it in my little area here, so I'm ready to dump one in when I need to have one. But no, just always being so damn nasty. Look right there. Look at Cooper Flagg. Got him a commercial. Look at that boy. Look at Cooper Flagg. Got a commercial. I'm telling you,
attaboy.
They need to just go ahead and wrap that American flag around him so he could just be Cooper. The American.
By the way, American. I got you.
The American.
Took me a moment.
I didn't get that at first. Yeah, I'm with you now.
Yeah, Cooper, yeah. The American.
That's like, actually not
put
bad.
Put that thing, tie it around his neck. Telling you, man.
It's pretty good, actually. Sounds like a wrestler.
Right there. He'd come out there, maybe not with Hulk Hogan's music, because that's a little dicey right now, but some other... Actually, you know what, man? You don't have control of. I don't want to be an American.
Yeah, Rick Derringer.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, it's this. Dick Derringer. Yeah, come on out. Do that. Do your thing, man. Do your thing, man. I'm telling you right there, Cooper, the American flag.
It's not bad.
There, man. It's good. 5 o'clock fire. The Rockets. Hey, they're back at it tonight, and I'm concerned. I am greatly concerned about tonight's ball game. They do get Amen Thompson back. I'll explain that. On the other side, maybe greatly concerns a little strong, but we'll get you up on March Madness and the Texans. If you haven't heard, added a new member to that offensive line room. They will not stop until they fix this thing their way. That's all coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
The great Kevin Harlan joins us.
This is Drive Time, isn't it? Back in Houston, man, woman, or child, right?